The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I am here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And for the next hour, what we're going to be doing is bringing you the kind of information that you can use to support your good health. And I emphasize the information that you can use, because you may have noticed that anytime you go to see your physician and you have a symptom or a complaint or an issue, what happens? The prescription pad comes out and possibly you leave the office with maybe one, possibly more than one prescription. And you're on your way to the drugstore, pick up that pharmaceutical. Maybe you take it and you're very successful at relieving your symptom or issue and you don't ever have to take it again. But very, very often there are complications. Complications in the form of side effects, unexpected reactions, and that might not necessarily lead you back to the doctor. And I'm going to say good morning to Dr. Slavin, because he's about to fill us in on that whole subject. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
Okay, so I was talking about people going to see their doctor, and so often what they find themselves with when they leave the doctor's office is a prescription. And unfortunately, very often, taking that prescription doesn't necessarily mean smooth sailing and good health after that.
One of the complaints I get from patients...
is you don't write enough prescriptions?
No, they don't want to come in. They just want their prescriptions filled for them without coming in. And I say, well, that might not be a good idea, although prescriptions do that all the time. But the reason I'm bringing this up is, and I'm trying to get some of the actual numbers, but back in 2009, they said, for the first time ever in the U.S., more people were killed by drugs than motor vehicle accidents.
Whoa! And that's 7 years ago.
And it's because they're not utilizing drugs properly. But really, the issue is, and by the way, it also accounts for millions of ER visits. You know, you go to ER because of a real problem with the drug. You don't always have to die from it, but there certainly are a number of deaths. I think at one time I read a number as high as 100,000 deaths a year from properly prescribed medications.
Right. The fourth leading cause of death was the use of properly prescribed prescription drugs. So not over-the-counter drugs, though they play a role, but properly prescribed prescription drugs. Say that real fast.
So I have a list of the top 10 medications prescribed. And I have to tell you, in my opinion, I don't think doctors are monitoring these patients closely enough, because if they were, you wouldn't see so many ER visits and deaths from properly prescribed drugs. They're not monitoring the people. I'm going to use an example. In the top 10 drugs is Crestor. It's a cholesterol-lowering drug. It's a statin, category of drugs I don't ever prescribe, but the doctors do.
A very popular drug.
So here are the, and I wonder how many people, when you go to the drugstore to get your prescription filled, and they give you that handout with all the directions and risk factors associated with the drug, how many people actually read that?
I ask people that question all the time about the drugs they're taking. And very often the response is, I deliberately don't read that because I don't want to set up a perspective in my mind about a negative outcome about this drug. I want to stay positive about it. Very interesting,
now,
right?
These are the common reactions to statin drugs, and in this case, Crestor specifically. These are the common ones: headache, muscle pain, abdominal pain, nausea, joint pain, dizziness, constipation, diabetes. Does your doctor tell you about that one? Elevations in liver enzymes, protein in the urine, blood in the urine, cognitive impairment. That means decline in mental function and sensitivity to light. Now, those are the common reactions.
Is that to Crestor?
And that's to Crestor, any statin drug. And the reason people get that is because the doctors aren't monitoring them, and they just take the drugs without any consideration for side effects. And so until they get to the point where the drug is causing them significant side effects, where a doctor might be able to pick up the problem with a simple blood test, that things were going wrong before things go really wrong. But here are the serious reactions, and I defy any physician to tell me in advance which patient is going to experience the serious reaction. In other words, we don't know. We give out drugs to patients. We know there are serious side effects associated with drugs, but we can't predict which patient is going to experience those serious side effects. Clearly, lots of patients take these drugs and have no side effects. But we don't know which ones are going to have the side effect. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the side effects are asymptomatic. You only pick it up with a blood test. And if you don't do the test, does that mean you don't have the side effect? That's like if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, does it make noise?
How zen, Dr. Slavin. Okay, I'm going to say that a lot of times there may be subtle side effects, and very often the patient will feel as though they should not bother the physician with information about that side effect.
No, the problem is the physician should be telling that patient, you need to come back in so we can make sure that this drug is safe for you to continue using. My personal opinion is if patients actually read the risks they are exposing their bodies to by taking these drugs, they might ask the question, well, what can I do differently that may be safer, a safer approach to the problem? Because I can tell you, we correct cholesterol problems all the time just with dietary changes.
Dr. Slavin, just the other day I did a presentation at Winmore, a community for over 55 adults, and as I was making certain suggestions that will achieve support of good health, one of the gentlemen there said, "Ooh, it sounds very costly." Well, along these lines, Dr. Slavin, the side effects that people experience with taking drugs in the long run is very costly, not only with regard to how your health suffers, but having to address the side effects possibly with other medication. So many different aspects of this that so important to discuss.
Well, you know, I listed the common side effects with statins. Now, here are the more serious reactions people can experience. And they don't really sneak up on you if you see a physician and he does the proper monitoring with blood work, but they can sneak up with you. In other words, I always say to patients, you're healthy until you get sick. The only question is, at what period or in the progression of your illness do you want to intervene? Do you want to intervene at the asymptomatic stage, or do you want to wait till you need to go to the hospital? That's the real question.
I don't want to intervene when it's time to go to the hospital. You're talking about, Dr. Slavin, statin class drugs, which are fraught with a whole array of negatives that people may have to deal with. One of the areas where I see very often a problem as well is with blood pressure lowering drugs. And very often, unfortunately, the doctors are not necessarily following those patients and making sure that the blood pressure is properly stable, that it's not going too low, that the person is not experiencing dizziness, other symptoms like that.
I've had patients who were overprescribed blood pressure medication that actually triggered a stroke, because when your blood pressure is too low, you don't get enough blood flow to the brain. And you can actually trigger a stroke. But here are some of the symptoms of the more serious reactions to statin drugs. You can have renal failure. Your kidneys stop working. Liver toxicity, pancreatitis, diabetes, low platelet count. These are all potentially deadly complications from a drug. How many of us have heard commercials on TV you see the happy couple on the TV and you have the voice in the background you're saying, you could die from taking this drug. I've heard that as one of the side effects could be death. But that's totally avoidable, but the doctors are not following patients closely enough. Do they get into trouble? No.
Critically important to be monitoring those patients, because in blood work you can see the developing picture of kidney dysfunction and certainly liver toxicity. You can see the overall chemistry of the blood becoming unbalanced.
Now, in the top 10 is another drug we're all familiar with, Nexium. It's a acid blocker type drug.
Okay, so Nexium is in the top 10 of drugs contributing to visits the ER.
No, it's in the top 10 of prescriptions written each month.
Oh,
so for Nexium, 15.2 million prescriptions are written each month for that drug.
Oh my goodness!
You know, for the Crestor, the 21.4 million. Prescriptions written each month. So here are the common reactions to Nexium. And as I go through the list, think of how many other drugs are being prescribed to treat the symptoms of the first drug. So you have headaches. So you're taking Nexium, and now you're going to take something for your headache. You might have diarrhea or abdominal pain or nausea, dizziness, constipation, and a vitamin B12 deficiency with long-term use. But it's not just vitamin B12 deficiency with long-term use. You're going to block the absorption of minerals and other nutrients. So long-term use is never recommended. If you were to read the insert, they would say no more than a couple of months. So, but those are just the common reactions. Now we go to the more serious reactions. And again, if doctors were following the patients properly when they prescribe these potential poisons, it's what they used to be called until they called them drugs or pharmaceuticals.
Chemical poisons.
But I guess we'll have to wait, and we'll get back to this after this music.
And that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come to give you information about what you may be exposing yourself to with your commonly available prescription drugs. Stay tuned. At AMT Centers, testing is designed to give you important information before symptoms of disease appear. You get the information needed to evaluate potential disease development. With cutting-edge labs such as Singulex, Innovative, Genova, Doctors Data, and many more, you'll receive definitive evaluations of health issues before problems arise. Learn more at amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about how to be more aware of potential issues with your prescription drugs and how you need to continue monitoring the effects of those prescription drugs with your physician. Dr. Slavin?
Yeah, we started off the discussion with the fact that in 2009, there were nearly 4.6 million drug-related visits to U.S. emergency rooms nationwide, and more than half of those, so over 2 million of those visits, were due to adverse reactions to prescription medications, most of which were taken exactly as prescribed. In other words, you were using the drugs properly. You weren't overdosing. You weren't doing anything wrong, but you had a bad reaction. And my position here is part of that is because doctors are not monitoring patients closely enough when they prescribe drugs. How many people get a drug and, with a 3 or 4 or 5 months worth of refills, and then the patient comes back? Well, a lot can happen, and you can't predict in advance which patient is the one that's going to be part of that statistic that goes to the hospital because of an adverse reaction. Now, we were talking about Nexium, which is a commonly prescribed drug, but that is one of the drugs that's an acid blocker, so you can take away from these symptoms for Prilosec, Omeprazole, Tagamet, Zantac. These are all over-the-counter drugs in that category with the availability without a prescription. So you can self-prescribe, and you have to be aware of the risks you're taking. So here are the common risks, but here are the more serious ones. Now, with any drug, you can have an anaphylactic reaction. Who can't predict who that's going to happen to? And unfortunately, that's a physician can help with that. But some of the things he would pick up on if he would monitor the patients closely enough are kidney issues brought on by the drug. If he were monitoring how the patient is handling their mineral usage or bioavailability, they would know they're not absorbing their minerals because they don't have the acidity in the stomach to help with absorption. Therefore, with this class of drugs, there's an increase in fractures. And interestingly enough, it's given to prevent or treat Barrett's esophagus, but it can cause that as well. Why would that be? Well, you are not addressing the underlying cause of the problem, so that continues. You're just masking the symptom. It's given to treat gastric ulcers, but it can cause that for the same reason. With long-term use, you'll develop low magnesium. You may even be an increased risk for C. difficile-associated diarrhea. Another thing that's happened recently is you see, and they have drugs for this now, so I think that's why we hear about it more, is overgrowth of bacteria in the small intestines. SIBO is what they call it because now they have a drug for it. So people learn these things. So my point is there are times when you should take a drug, a lot less than they're prescribed, but there are times. But you need to be monitored because every drug, because it's able to relieve symptoms, it's actually poisoning your body. Your body is becoming symptomatic because it's trying to tell you there's something wrong and that drug is causing it. And if you ignore it or you don't do the tests to pick it up before you are aware of the problem, then you could run into problems. So those were two of the drugs. And I'm in the top 10 of prescriptions. And there are a lot of prescriptions as sold. But interestingly enough, if you were to look at the top 10 drug list, not by the number of prescriptions sold or written, but by the how much money they bring in, Humira comes in at the top of the list with $8.2 billion. Crestor is not too shabby at $5.9 billion a year in sales.
Astonishing numbers, Dr. Slavin. Okay. Humira, the risks of side effects that are very serious with the use of Humira, it's astonishing to me that that's one of the drugs that brings in such a significant amount of money. Now, here's my question. That drug is rheumatoid arthritis and
Crohn's disease.
Oh, really? Oh, so
and psoriasis,
autoimmune issues.
They even use it for. Here's the one. I wonder if you know what this is. Hidradenitis suppurativa.
I have to say, no. It sounds like something very exotic. What is it?
So they use it for that as well.
What is it?
Excessive sweating.
Oh, hydro.
Hidradenitis.
Okay.
The sweat glands are just
right. Overactive.
So this is the apparently from this list the biggest selling drug by that bringing the most money. And again, if people were to look at the reactions, now the most serious, the common reactions with it, again, could be headaches, sinus problems, nausea, urinary tract infection, elevations in cholesterol. You can have abdominal pain, back pain, blood in the urine, elevations in liver enzymes. Now, you know, when you have an elevated liver enzyme, that means the cells in the liver are being damaged. You could also have joint pain. So those are the common reactions. And I'm willing to bet a lot of people on the drug will dismiss those reactions because I say those are, common things that people get.
Okay, common and expected side effects. So I just have to put up with it because the drug is addressing my main reason for taking the drug. Might people think like that?
They might. And again, we mentioned why they're taking it, rheumatoid arthritis or Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. They have a lot of symptoms from those ailments. And here's a way to reduce the symptoms. At what risk? Well, potentially risk of dying because you can get serious infections, sepsis, tuberculosis, increases the risk of developing cancer. Lymphoma, leukemia. You can even have heart problems, congestive heart failure, suppresses your bone marrow. I mean, this is what people are taking. Every drug has potential for serious side effects. And I'm saying we could reduce those 4 million emergency room visits because of drug use if doctors would just monitor their patients more closely. Well, the patient should insist on it. You know, if you're taking, read the risks you're assuming when the doctor prescribes a drug and make sure that you monitor closely.
I have a reason why the doctors might not necessarily be monitoring their patients as closely as would be desirable. Very often I hear from clients when I suggest that they do a follow-up blood test to something that was out of range, and my suggestion might be that here is a natural substance or possibly a change in diet that they can use to correct it, but you need to find out if the approach is working. And very often they'll go to their doctors and the doctors might reply when the patient requests repeat blood work that the insurance company is going to deny it because the time frame from the initial issue and now to the gauging the follow-up approach, the time frame hasn't been long enough. And very often I hear 6 months as a possibility. And, you know, when I might be suggesting maybe 6 to 8 weeks. So that has a big impact on how comfortable the patient feels going back to their doctor and asking for these follow-up tests.
It might be. And, so maybe you shouldn't take the drug. If you can't be monitored properly for that drug and you know you're risking potentially serious problems, look for a different approach.
It's one more example of how insurance company interference impacts the doctor-patient relationship.
Now, the number two selling drug, in other words, the greatest revenue producer, is Abilify. Now, I've seen commercials on TV for that, and it's used to treat schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, or even depression. And again, with these drugs, you have to be careful what the side effects are. And there are serious, the side effects, headaches, weight gain. People are paying money to get these side effects, by the way.
They're paying very big money.
Insomnia, constipation, tremors, cough, fatigue, arthralgias, meaning joint pains, muscle pains, diarrhea. You can have...
Dr. Slavin, what might you say to someone that I'm speaking with and they have listed their symptoms for me and they've listed their different medications, and when I review in the PDR or drugs.com what are the side effects associated with the drugs? The patient says, well, I have to take the drug, so I have no choice. Do you have a reply to that?
Well, the patients that come to see us have made the choice for themselves not to take the drug. And many of them have actually tried the drug, and they didn't like how it made them feel. The doctors really didn't have anything else to offer them because they're not treating health, as I like to say what we do is we're treating health. They're treating disease, and they're treating disease by suppressing symptoms. When we talk about treating health, we want to optimize how your body functions. That makes you healthier and prevents or reduces the risk of getting these serious problems, and also helps you recover from them as well.
That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. When we come back, I want to ask how about age and size might make a difference with regard to choosing different drugs or opting out. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care. reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. This is Janet Cimarelli. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I'm here this morning with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about the potential dangers associated with very commonly prescribed drugs, pharmaceuticals, and that you always have choices. So you may be dealing with some symptoms, but there are some very, very natural approaches that you can use to support healthy function of your body.
Now, Janet, do you know what drug has the most prescriptions written for it each month?
No.
Synthroid.
Wow. Okay, very, very interesting. So what we are seeing, and we know that there is an epidemic of hormone dysfunction, possibly originating from thyroid and adrenal glands, and maybe so many prescriptions are written for Synthroid because people keep returning and they're not successful at overcoming their issues. Their blood work shows that the thyroid hormones aren't functioning very well.
Let's assume that they're being prescribed appropriately because of a dysfunctional thyroid, an underactive thyroid. Why is that? All of a sudden, why do we have so much thyroid disease? Since we've been talking about the side effects, it's important to point out here's a drug, the most prescribed drug. Doctors are not monitoring the patients closely enough. The potential side effects include palpitations, rapid heart rate. You can have diarrhea or abdominal cramps from it, fever, headache. How many people get headaches? You know, you don't think twice. You take a headache pill. People might use aspirin, Tylenol, NSAIDs. You can have, with Synthroid, hair loss is one of the side effects.
All of the issues that people probably seek out a prescription for, and you know they're diagnosed with hypothyroid, so they have those issues, but the potential for those issues continuing with the prescription medication is right there.
I think the take home here too is besides drugs being able to create a lot of additional symptoms for the patient besides the symptom you're taking the drug for in the first place, if the doctors would watch the patients closely enough, you can reduce that possibility. And then we haven't taken into account when you take more than one drug at a time. You have a list of the symptoms from the one drug you're taking. And if you're taking two drugs, you'll have another list of the symptoms of the other drug potentially. But nobody's combining the two together and seeing what symptoms the two together are going to cause. So the point is we try to reduce the number of prescriptions that people are taking because of the potential side effects, and not to forget that you haven't addressed the original cause of the problem in the first place. Now, when it comes to a thyroid problem, I think a lot of times you can't it's difficult to address the underlying cause because it could be toxins from the environment that are all about us. And we, you know, fluoride in the water, chlorine in the water. These are all toxic to the thyroid gland. And remember what I said, if it's in the water, it's in the food you're eating. So, I mean, these toxins that affect the thyroid gland are all around us. And we said that the Synthroid or levothyroxine, the most commonly prescribed drug with 21.5 million prescriptions written for it each month.
Wow.
You know, it tells you something, but...
Okay, now, Dr. Slavin, your opinion of levothyroxine or Synthroid. This is synthetic thyroid hormone, and I talk to clients of mine all the time about this.
Well, my bias when it comes to treating people is imitate nature. So if I find that you're not making adequate thyroid hormone...
How correct might those blood tests be, do you think, Dr. Slavin?
They miss a lot of people. The range is so broad. Let me explain this. This is, you know, very simple to understand. The way they come up with the range for a test is they'll take a group of people at random. I'm not sure how they screen them or what questions they ask, but I guess the assumption is that they're all healthy, that they don't have any problems. They're probably... or shouldn't be taking any drugs, and they do the test that they want to determine the range for. So when it comes to thyroid, they do the test. And the active thyroid hormone, I'm just going to pick on that one, is T3, but not the total T3. It's the free T3. That's the active part. So your doctor should be testing. I see doctors never testing for that. You know, they go all around it, but the active hormone they never test for. The range is like something like 2.4 to 4.4. That's the range. So what does that mean? That means if they looked at 100 people, and I don't know how many people they checked to see how to determine the range, but let's say they looked at 100 people. It could be 1,000 people. It really doesn't matter. Some people came in at 2.4. Others were 2.5. Others were 3. Others were 3.5. Some were 4, 4.2. Now, the way I look at it, the number that they came in on supposedly is the right number for them. Now, I don't know what the right number for a given patient is, and neither does the doctor. He just assumes that if you're in that range, that's the right number for you. But remember, the range is 2.4 to 4.4. So maybe the right number for you is 4, and you come in at 3, you're actually low. But the doctor won't prescribe any thyroid for you because he doesn't take the time to practice medicine and ask you the questions that can elicit what the real problem is, because 90% of determining what's wrong with the patient is done with a thorough history, asking the patient how they feel, what's wrong with them. But we've lost the art of questioning the patient, and we just rely on a blood test. Janet is... signaling me to mention you can feel the thyroid gland. But you know what? You sometimes you can have a non-palpable thyroid gland and have a problem. I mean, I do recommend ultrasound just to look at the thyroid. We see a lot of nodules on the thyroid because of a dysfunction, not enough hormone, too much hormone, other toxins in the environment. But I think the point I'm making is you can be in the normal range on thyroid function, and when you have symptoms of a dysfunctional thyroid, the doctor will dismiss the symptoms because you're in the range. But maybe they're wrong. The point is he's looking at the wrong test. Jana mentioned how accurate are the tests. They look at TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone, and they just see, well, if that's in range, you must be fine. Thyroid-stimulating hormone, the range is up to 4, and... there's a debate upon really how high it should be allowed to go. The latest thinking on that is maybe not higher than 2. But I can tell you I've seen thyroid-stimulating hormones in the normal range with low thyroid hormone levels. You see, thyroid stimulating hormone is a brain hormone, has nothing to do with thyroid hormone except that it's supposedly stimulating production. And what's supposed to happen is if your thyroid gland is not producing enough thyroid hormone, thyroid stimulating hormone will go up to stimulate it. But there are other reasons why the thyroid hormone might not go up, like stress. So I've seen where you have a low TSH, and the doctor, if he's just looking at that, will say everything is fine. But your actual thyroid hormones could be low at the same time, but he would never know it. He's not checking for it.
You mentioned stress, Dr. Slavin, and sugar as a stress. One of the symptoms of a dysfunctional thyroid might interfere with the sales of a very lucrative drug that we mentioned earlier in the show. And I'm thinking about Crestor. When your cholesterol is elevated, it's a pretty good indication that your thyroid doesn't function very well. But the doctors don't necessarily want to support enhancing thyroid function because that might interfere with the number of prescriptions that they would be writing for cholesterol-lowering drugs. It might interfere with some of the prescriptions that they may be writing for insomnia, possibly the drugs for depression, possibly the drugs for migraine headaches, other hormone imbalances?
Well, I think you make a good point that an abnormal level of any hormone in your body is going to have effects on how your body functions. And it's true of thyroid. And you can have a thyroid problem and it'll affect your cholesterol levels. So the first thing to do is, before you prescribe a statin drug, which we never do, to lower cholesterol, make sure the thyroid is functioning properly.
Prior to the introduction, my understanding of it is, prior to the introduction of cholesterol-lowering drugs, if someone's cholesterol was high, then thyroid support prescription would be written. Rather than
one of the things, absolutely. And, you know, that now the doctors don't take time, again, to ask questions, talk to the patient, measure their temperature. You know, your temperature could be an indication of a thyroid issue if it's too low than expected.
And that music means it's time for the last break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I just want to let everybody know that from 12 to 2, I will be available at Hallandale Beach Boulevard. Locatel is the name of the retail location. So from 12 to 2 today, I will be at Locatel on Hallandale Beach Boulevard, and I'll be talking to everyone about my Jana Balm, my Jana Biotic, Jana Jest, all the good products from Janet's Best Formulas. That's what's going on today. Dr. Slavin.
What type of store is that?
It has everything. It has some furnitures, kind of assistant type furnitures. If people have difficulty standing up after a sitting position in a comfortable chair, they've got those kind of chairs. They've got walkers. They've got every imaginable supplement line. And it's a drugstore, so you can pick up your prescription there. There is a hearing aid center. They have the most fabulous selection of desirable perfumes and scents and all kinds of good things. So that's where I will be from 12 to 2. And then at 3 o'clock, I go to Toonies in Fort Lauderdale.
All right. You have a little time for lunch then. Now, we were talking about Synthroid. It's the number one prescribed drug. and then we were saying that, you know, you can have cholesterol issues because you don't have enough circulating thyroid hormone. But a better way of, actually, that's not true. It's not the circulating thyroid hormone that's important. It's the functional thyroid hormone that's important. So what I'm saying is you can have a circulating thyroid hormone. What does that mean? That means your blood tests will be normal, but your thyroid hormone is not as functional as it should be, and you can have symptoms of an underactive thyroid hormone. And this is an instance where someone might need to take thyroid supplementation. So we were talking about how not enough thyroid hormone might be associated with elevated cholesterol. And you can check that out. The National Institute of Health, even on their website, agrees with that position. Thyroid hormone affects the metabolism of cholesterol as well as cardiovascular disease risk. You know, Broda Barnes, MD, in his book, Hypothyroidism, the Unsuspected Illness, said that one of the major causes of heart disease is an underfunctioning thyroid gland. And he was able to, he had a monogram that supported his, that he wrote supporting that position as to why the thyroid can play a role there. And if I recall his hypothesis, he was saying that if you look back over the years, when I say years, 100-year time frame, the first disease that people who were hypothyroid would get and succumb to would have been tuberculosis. In other words, if your thyroid was underactive, your immune system wouldn't be as functional as it should be, and you might be more susceptible to getting tuberculosis and dying. So then they came up with treatments for that. So now those people with the thyroid problem survived the tuberculosis. They went on to develop smallpox, which was another serious problem. And I'm not sure which order it came, whether the smallpox came first or the tuberculosis. So they said, now that we got treatments for smallpox, those people survived and they lived longer. And now that group of people that weren't, that didn't die off from those infections lived long enough to develop heart disease. And, you know, that was his hypothesis. He was to make a very good case why that might be. So I think we can't rely just on drug measurements of hormone levels circulating in the blood. It's almost the same as insulin resistance and your blood sugar. You can have normal amounts or even elevated amounts of insulin circulating in your blood and still have an elevated blood sugar. In other words, the hormone isn't working. The insulin, your body is resistant to the function of insulin. Well, the same thing may be happening with thyroid hormone as well, where it's circulating, it's being measured out, but the patient still comes to you with all these symptoms that suggest a thyroid problem, even though the thyroid tests are normal. So what could some of those symptoms be? We mentioned a low basal body temperature. I think a lot of times, you know, if we're not sure, patients come to us with a lot of complaints that suggest a thyroid problem. We'll look at their temperature, and if it's low, that's just one other point of confirmation that it may be a thyroid problem. And then ultimately, and they use this in medicine all the time, you can use a therapeutic trial of a medication, or in this case, a hormone, to see if the patient responds. And give you an example of how a therapeutic trial might be used. Someone comes in with chest pain. Of course, these days you can do a lot of tests to determine whether it's heart-related or not. But sometimes you can say, well, take this nitroglycerin tablet when you have chest pain, see if you respond to it, and that helps narrow down what the possible causes are, because not only can nitroglycerin relieve the pain associated with angina, which is diminished blood flow to the heart, sometimes they talk about digestive issues or spasms that might be relieved. So it's not 100%, but it's a therapeutic trial to see if the patient responds and helps to make the diagnosis. The same thing here, using the thyroid. If you give patients thyroid, they feel so much better. I think you have the confirmation that was the problem. How many people are not being given thyroid hormone replacement because the blood tests are normal, and all that's being given to them is they're loading up on other drugs to treat the symptoms that could have been corrected with the thyroid. Now, so dysfunctional or subclinical hypothyroidism, or underactive thyroid, associated with cholesterol issues, cardiovascular disease, and when you have a dysfunctional thyroid, there's a whole group of problems that go along. Depression, probably, you know, not enough thyroid hormone associated with depression. How many people, they don't give thyroid hormone for depression, they give antidepressants for depression, which is kind of strange, because there's no such thing as a drug deficiency in your body. There is such a thing as a hormone deficiency. So always address that first. What we see all the time around in women around perimenopause, they come in complaining of a lot of, could be digestive complaints, palpitations. They go through the million-dollar workup. They don't find anything. And all along, all they had to do is just correct the fluctuations in their hormones, and the patients feel better. And it's, all those symptoms go away.
So many different symptoms associated with thyroid dysfunction. And some of the things that I suggest with clients who come to see me would be trace mineral support, selenium. We are no longer getting selenium in any appreciable amount from our diet. So if you don't want to take a selenium supplement, you can think about eating one or two Brazil nuts each day. Brazil nuts being very supportive for selenium status. Iodine. And iodine is such a hot button word when people suggest iodine support to their physicians. A lot of times the doctors are saying, no, you don't want to use any iodine. Very toxic situation with iodine. And then if you have a lot of the symptoms that we've been talking about today, including elevated cholesterol, elevated triglycerides, fatigue, heart palpitations, all of that, you very much want to check thyroid, and the blood tests aren't going to tell you very much. You want to check your temperature.
Here's a study written about 15 years ago, published in Atherosclerosis. It showed that an explanation of why you can reduce the risk of heart disease by correcting thyroid problems is because when you have a thyroid problem, your homocysteine can be elevated as well as your cholesterol. So you give the thyroid, those problems go away, and you reduce the risk of heart disease.
That might interfere with bypass surgery and stents and all of those cardiological meds.
It's all in the mainstream literature, and but it's not being promoted by the drug companies because this is not how they make a lot of money. You make a lot of money letting people get sick.
And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back tomorrow with more information that you need to keep yourselves healthy. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.